Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Dr. Kevin Mose, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Good morning, Dr. Mose.
Good morning, Mr. Cochran. How are you, sir?
You know, if I ran into one person yesterday, I ran into 47 people yesterday who all have the same cold. And
yeah.
This death grip cold, I'm now in day 17. You remember Walter Cronkite at the end of the news for years and years would tell you how many days the hostages were held? I've been held hostage by this cold, Doc, for 17 days, and I've had just about enough of it.
But hopefully it's turning the corner. 17 is kind of pushing it. We start to get concerned at about day 10 or day 14 to say, this may not be a virus. This may have a little touch of a bacterial component to it. You know, the bad thing is now we're starting to see, you know, the impact of spring allergies, and someone that has a cold that has spring allergies, they lay it right on top of each other, and they feel like it's the cold that's just continuing.
Yeah, I just can't shake the cough. That's the thing. And yep. Yesterday, or last week, I should say, I had a chest x-ray and a blood test. Both of those were clean. I thought, here we go. I'm around the corner. And this weekend, I'm just coughing my full head off again.
Well, and the cough is going to be the last symptom to kind of hang on there. If you think about your body, the cough is a defense mechanism to keep whatever this infection is out of your lungs so you don't end up with pneumonia. So we kind of overshoot. The body does a little bit more coughing than it actually needs to. The infection can be gone, but the inflammation can still be there because the body's trying to protect itself.
And I don't want to bury you with medical terms here, but you know the junk and the gunk in my head?
Yeah.
Mucinex, how do you get rid of that?
Yeah, Mucinex is great. It's just an expectorant. All it does is loosen things up. I tell people, you know, I want you to take Mucinex, and you're going to hate me because you're going to cough more, you're going to blow your nose more. But mechanically removing the junk from your sinuses and from your bronchial tree allows you to get better quicker.
So it's my bronchial tree. That's the trouble.
Yep.
All right, so yesterday, very impressed with all the people that climbed all four towers, or even one tower. I mean, those are amazing folks.
That is. That's, you know, kudos to the entire team. I think that's great. You know, and just the awareness for lung disease to do it, but also just for their personal satisfaction that they could do it. That's great.
All right, I want to talk to you about stroke for just a second, because Luke Perry last week, you know, we were talking over the weekend. It's like, yeah, he was famous, but, man, he got a lot of coverage. Well, the tragedy of somebody dying at 52 years old and also somebody whose primary stardom came from being the young, hunky guy, I think that's where that all comes from. The good news is that there's tremendous stroke awareness in the past 5 to 7 days, and hopefully people have been paying attention.
Probably the biggest thing we can do, you know, strokes are very, very unfortunate. We have a lot of them, 800,000 of them in a year. The vast majority of them, people are going to survive. And the big message is the earlier we find them, the earlier we treat them, the less the disability the individual has. So that's the importance of people knowing what to look for and making sure that they act on it quickly.
You know, we talk about silent heart attacks or the heart attacks you have that don't cripple you or maybe don't even send you to the hospital, but maybe it's a warning a week or two or a month ahead of time. Do you have that for stroke?
You can. You can have something called a TIA, which is transient ischemic attack. You can have symptoms, and then they resolve. Now, those individuals should be they're at very high risk of having a stroke in the future, in the near future. So those are the people that you get in to see their doctor. Often, if you have enough what they call TIAs, they're going to start to do more of a workup. They may even do an angiogram of your brain to see if there's some blockage there that they can start to treat early instead of waiting for a full stroke.
Time saved is brain saved. That's your point, right?
Absolutely. Just like heart. You know, we know that you have crushing chest pain. The quicker we can get in there and open up that artery and get you more blood flow to that part of the heart that is being suffocated, essentially, the exact same thing with the brain. Brain cells die rapidly when they're not getting any blood. So the importance of opening that up, removing that clot, getting that treated, I can't stress. You know, we call it the golden hour, and the importance of doing that and getting it treated as quickly as possible is important.
Let's talk about symptoms here, because FASTER is the acronym to help you remember what the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and there's a bonus symptom here, a 7th. to talk about. But what does the F stand for?
Yeah, so the F stands for facial drooping. You look at somebody and they smile and only one side of their mouth goes up. That's a concern.
The A?
A is for arm weakness or asymmetric. So you have somebody to hold their arms up and one drifts down, or they can't lift one up and they can lift another up, or one has a really good strength and the other one does not.
S?
Stability or loss of coordination. How can they walk? Are they walking okay? Do they look like they're walking like they're drunk?
And you know, if you don't know and somebody's going through this, it's okay to ask them to show you this stuff, right?
Absolutely. This is exactly what we want people to do.
The T?
T is for talking. Any slurred speech or any confused speech, that's another sign that we want people to look at.
E?
E is for vision, so your eyes. Blurred vision or double vision. Anybody complains of those?
And R is for let's get after it, respond, let's call 911.
Exactly. The most important one, you know, react right away. If you see that, call 911. Don't put them, you know, say, oh, let's, you know, you go rest, get some sleep, and let's see what happens here. Maybe it's just, so, you know, your arm's weak. No. Any of these happen, the importance of getting that individual in immediately so that treatment can start is key.
The bonus symptom here, and I don't mean bonus in a good way, is a horrible headache. Like the worst headache of your life that kind of comes out of nowhere, I guess?
For some of these. So there's two big kinds of strokes. One is the one that's going to have a blood clot. In the blood clot one, often you're just going to have the symptoms of the facial drooping, the weakness, the numbness, the slurred speech. The other one, which is much more rare, only 15% of those are where a blood vessel bursts in the brain, and it's actually bleeding directly into the brain. Some of those are going to have what we call a thunderclap headache, or they're going to have a worst headache of their life. But for the vast majority of people, the 85%, you're going to see them with weakness, slurred speech, blurred vision. Those are the more common symptoms.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about sleep deprivation, but in regards to stroke, the Northwestern Medicine Mobile Stroke Unit is unique and very important, and I think it's still based at CDH, right?
Yes, it is. Yep.
So talk about that for a second.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, what happens when people get strokes, like we said, the timing of it is the most important. So let's say you're at your home, you're having a stroke. It's recognized, you call 911. An ambulance now comes to your house, picks you up, drives you back to the hospital. We put you in a CAT scanner, we read the CAT scan, then we start the medication or start the intervention. What the mobile stroke unit is, it has a CAT scan actually in the ambulance. So in DuPage County, in portions of DuPage County, when you call 911 with the symptoms of a stroke, two ambulances go to your house. A regular municipal ambulance, as well as our stroke unit. We do the CAT scan right in the driveway of the individual's home. It's red, but the images are sent to us via, you know, the Bluetooth. It's read by a radiologist at that point. And if it is positive for a stroke, we start the treatment in your driveway as we drive you to the hospital. We've been able to cut off about 47 minutes off of treatment time by doing this.
That's a huge deal, right?
Huge deal.
Does insurance cover it usually?
You know what's kind of interesting, Mary? You know, we fortunately had a grant for this, so we had a foundation grant that set it all up. We didn't even bill for it. So we did it for the community. We feel that it's the right thing to do for the community. Hopefully you'll get to a point where Medicare and insurance companies pay for it, because if you can decrease the disability, decrease the length of time in the hospital, decrease the need for rehab, the insurance companies are going to win, because we're giving them the exact same medication they would get at the hospital just much earlier.
Last question. Texter says, if a person sticks out their tongue and it drifts to one side, is that also emblematic?
It can be. So any kind of movement in the face can be. It's not totally, because there's people that will have that anyways, but it definitely can be. And they should have another symptom with it.
And a stroke's not an aneurysm, right?
A stroke is not an aneurysm. The hemorrhagic strokes, where we have the bursting blood vessel, they can be caused by aneurysms, which is a weakening of the wall of the arteries that feed the brain.
Is everybody okay to take a baby aspirin?
Well, you should really talk to your doctor. Some people have issues with stomach ulcers.
Like
and
you.
If you do, yeah, exactly. But if you do, you should talk. It's one of those risk rewards. I still take one. My doctor feels that it's much more important for me to take it for cardiovascular illness than the risk of me having another stomach bleed.
It's Dr. Kevin Most. We got to talk about sleep, especially that you just woke up on a Monday and you're going, shut up, Steve. I'm trying to wake up. We'll come back and do that in just a second as we continue, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Got a text phone question coming up. My son pointed out what a weirdo I am yesterday. And Maureen and I started talking about various symptoms I have of what my things are, the weird things that I do that I know are weird, but I do them anyway. I don't want that to sound too creepy.
Wow, how long was that list?
But I give you a perfect example as we bring Dr. Most back in. Doc, I don't like drinking water out of a box. I don't like the box of water.
I don't either.
Oh, so you're just as weird as I am.
Well, that's what they gave away after the stair climb yesterday.
Yeah, I like that.
We all look like we were drinking milk, and it just tastes different.
It tastes different, and it's weird. But the box of water, it's environmentally sound. It's a good idea. And
less plastic.
I won't do it. So that's just one of the weird things I have. So we'll get to the weird list coming up in just a second. Doc, somebody else asked about baby aspirin or 81 milligram low dose. Is that the same thing?
Yes, it is. Okay. Absolutely the same thing. A normal aspirin is 325 milligrams. The baby aspirin is 81.
He's talking about coughing. Certainly, I'm not sleeping well during this 17-day hostage-taking of my head. So let's talk about a little sleep deprivation. Give me some tips. Give me some things that ought to be common sense.
And you know what? The timing of this is good, Steve, because with daylight savings time, when we lost this hour of sleep, the impact of it and the change is pretty amazing when we look at it. And I don't know, Mary, if you noticed today, we have more car accidents on the first day after daylight savings. The Monday after daylight savings time, car accidents go up about 6 to 10%.
Good times.
Wow, I just thought it was a Monday, but now that I had it together, and you know, people are tired.
Tired.
Exactly. They're groggy today. They're not used to this. Their circadian rhythm has been thrown off.
And one other thing, the sunshine delays as well, because they start later than they usually do, and there's more traffic later.
Exactly.
So now we have the sun popping up soon, and we'll see what happens. Yikes.
And when the sun pops up, and we're only a week or two away, you get this sun field, depending on where you're on the highway on a bright morning, and people can't drive.
And if you forget your sunglasses, because, we've been in this winter darkness for so long.
All right,
exactly.
So
you think about it, they've been eased into this change, and all of a sudden we shocked them back, so...
Yeah, and that's part of your tips here, that obviously you can't do this now, but you can certainly do it for the fall and next spring. Set your alarm a little early.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is try to ease into it. And really, even though we talk about the shock today, this flight goes on for about another week or so.
Oh, so
the body starts to get used to it. But yeah, you really do. You want to set your alarm a little early those days, wake up, get used to this new time structure. Probably the most important thing we can do, breakfast. People talk about breakfast being the most important meal. It really helps you reset your circadian rhythm as well. It's used to now I get my protein, and now I'm ready to go for the day.
If you can, get up early enough to take a quick walk.
Yeah, and walk in the evening as well. Your body's got to get used to this time change now. So getting out and getting some exercise, and the weather certainly sounds like it's going to allow this, where before we would be done with dinner and be dark. Now it's light. Get out, get a little exercise. Your body will get used to that and get ready to go to sleep.
Put the kids to bed a little early?
Yeah, you know, for school kids today, I feel sorry for the teachers. You know, their mood's going to be down. They're going to be irritable. They're going to be groggy. We have problems with memory and concentration levels for this first week. So great time for spring break. Not a great time for kids in school.
And what about little babies? It really screws them up too, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, we really think about it. Oh, come on, it's just an hour change. But all of the studies, and there's been numerous studies that have shown increased number of strokes, increased number of heart attacks, increased accidents, all because of this 1 hour time change.
Screws up my dog, too.
Really?
Yeah. He was ready to eat last night, but it was the wrong time.
So Ozzy looks at you and goes, what up, dude?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Where's the food? Let's go.
But I wonder why we don't do this on a Friday night, Saturday morning, instead of a Saturday night, Sunday morning, so you'd have 2 days to get used to it before you go back to work.
How about we don't do it at all?
Exactly.
Well, there's that, too.
I mean, we have heart attacks, accidents, babies screwed up.
Yeah.
This is great.
But Dave, you're spot on. Why wouldn't we move it back to the least, the day that we have our last day of productivity in 2 days to get back to normal before we come back to work?
Mm-hmm. So there's been more political talk than ever about just leaving it around the calendar. What do you think of that?
I'm a big fan, and one of the reasons is because I like to play golf.
Yeah, and, so, and otherwise it gets dark at 8 o'clock at night.
Correct. You know, it's nice at going out to play golf after work and get out and get some exercise and do those things where if it's dark earlier, I don't care about the morning, to be honest with you. It's dark when I drive in anyway, so it's not a big change for me, but this isn't about me.
Yeah, this should be golf saving time. GST.
Right.
All right. In regards to sleep, March is National Sleep Awareness Week. I'm not kidding around when I talk about a MyPillow. Everybody's got to have a pillow that works for them. I tell people try a MyPillow because it really does work. I mean, you know, you can find out it's not right for you, but you got to find something. You got to find something that makes your sleep comfortable and well lasting, and you're not rolling around and getting up in the middle of the night and waking up every 10 minutes, right?
Yeah. And you know what? One of the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about sleep health because there's a lot that's been done on sleep health, and it's something that's very important. Our chances of heart disease and stroke definitely go up if you're not sleeping properly. So we should definitely talk about it.
Yeah, let's come back and talk about sleep tools. Spend about a week on Amazon. Find us all the sleep stuff again.
Yeah,
here's that picture.
Know.
People in a sleep mask, a sleep helmet, airing Babbling Brooks next to their head. You know, all that stuff.
I'll get it for you.
All right. Thanks, man.
You got it.
See you later. Dr.
Talk
Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here.